Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you have gathered us again. You have heard our prayers, especially as we prayed for this nation, and you are going to do something great in our nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, you will cause your word to prosper in this land. You will cause this word that we are discussing here, teaching, admonishing our hearts and enlightening everybody's heart. You will cause it to prosper and overcome in this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Cause your word to come freely to the hearers today as I speak freely because of your anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I want to, if you remember last, two weeks ago, we began to speak on what I titled My Place in Christ. And that first one was the one that was titled Who Am I? And last week, I began to say some things about the doctrine of Christ. That is, when you use the word Christ, what exactly you mean when you use that expression, Jesus Christ. When you use the expression Christ. Now, and we read from Colossians chapter 1, and we saw that the Bible says clearly, Paul was explaining that this is the mystery that God had hidden from ages past, which has now been revealed. And what is that mystery? That Christ in you is the hope of glory. Which means that if God is going to do anything on this earth, it will be because Christ, that person, is just beyond Jesus as a person. The doctrine, the word Christ, means more than just Jesus as a person, but it represents everything that God is able to do for mankind, the spiritual force that has been released into this earth because of the death of Jesus on the cross. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? You have to understand that when physical things explain spiritual things. There's a way I like you to understand this. If you take an electric coil, a coil of wire, and you pass a magnet through it, do you understand what I'm saying? For those of you, Kingsley is looking totally lost. They didn't do science in secondary school. But okay, you know that if you hold an electric a coil of wire and you throw a magnet through it, that movement of that magnet generates electricity in the coil, all right? And if you put the two ends to a small bulb, it might be able to light it because electricity begins to move. What am I saying? The death of Jesus, that movement of Jesus into the grave and out, generated forces in the realm of the spirit that is active today on this earth. And those forces so generated is what the Bible calls Christ. I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. That is, there are things that God is able to do for mankind because Jesus died. All of that encapsulated in one word is what is called Christ. And he said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So that's what we began to see. And today I want us to go in from there and explain some things. Because remember last time, I said we'll continue today by looking at what? If you remember, I said we'll continue by looking at what it means to triumph by the blood, to overcome by the blood. How it is that we overcome by the blood. Now, before I get there, I'd like to read a few portions of the scriptures. Have your Bible open, please, to Hebrews chapter 2. Now, this is going to be a long one, so please be patient with me. We are going to read a long portion here from Hebrews chapter 2. I'll read from verse 1. It says, for this reason, we must pay much attention, much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, it said, how do we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. He said, for he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. He said, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But we do not yet see all things subjected to him. That's referring to Christ Jesus now. He said, but we're not referring to mankind. And I said, but we see him, Jesus, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. It said, for both him who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. He was talking about that. Verse 14. Therefore, since these children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Let me read verse 14 again. It said, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Now, notice that. Now, again, open to Romans chapter 1. I want to read something there. Romans chapter 8, sorry. I want to read from verse 1. Romans chapter 8. I'll read from verse 1. It said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Notice verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, please follow what I want to say very closely. The first thing I want to emphasize here is verse 3. It said, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. Now, I will not take too much time trying to go through all the references to bring out these points, all right? Because that might be a bit boring. So I'll just tell you what I want to say, but please believe me, I'm telling you the truth. Do you understand? And you can go and confirm the things that I will refer to. Number one, what was it that the law should do? Let me quickly answer that. And if you want more understanding on that, refer to our old message, Understanding the New Covenant. I think I discussed some of those things in details there. But let me just quickly go over this. What the law was supposed to do, in simple words, was to bring the glory of God down to Israel. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Remember, we said something last time when we were explaining that death, you know what death is? It's that spiritual force that makes everything go wrong. Death is a spiritual force that makes somebody fall sick and die. Death is a spiritual force that makes a business start and collapse rapidly. Do you get my point? This is how God explained death to Adam. He said, the earth will no longer yield its increase for you. That is, death had entered into the earth. That was why he warned Adam ahead of time. The day you do this thing, that day you will surely die. So that when he began to talk to Adam afterwards, he was telling him that death has come. Now you have died. You have become subject to death. Not just that the man slept and did not wake up, no. But that everything you do from now has come under the power of failure. I hope you're understanding my point. That anything you do from now has come under the power of failure, and he said that is death. Now, but you have to understand that God now told the children of Israel when they were leaving the promised land, he said, if you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to obey all these commandments that I'm commanding you today. Are you getting my point? Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said that these are the blessings that will come upon you, and these are the curses that will not come upon you. So he began to tell them, blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your cattle. Blessed you shall be when you go out. Blessed you will be when you come in. He said, when your enemies come against you one way, they will scatter seven ways. He began to tell them that these things will happen, blessings, on one condition. If you shall obey all these words that I'm telling you to do today. Do you get my point? All right. That they were supposed to lead the world on every aspect. That if you go into technology, you will have found them in front. People will have been going there to study the doctrines, or let me say the techniques of agriculture. Because the blessing of God will have been upon everything that they did. That there will be nothing like miscarriage in the land. In fact, E.W. Kenyon explained something long ago, that you will read through the scriptures, you will find that there was no doctor in Israel. Notice that. That you will discover that there was no doctor anywhere. That what he told them, in fact, the closest, let me just add this to it. The closest they ever had to doctors were priests. Then they were like sanitation officers. You understand what I'm saying? They were community health physicians. You bring a disease to them, they will look and tell you what to do, how to put the person in quarantine and all that. But as doctors, they didn't have. Why? Because God said, I am the Lord that healed thee. That we have no second on that job in Israel. In fact, I like the way Derek Prince explained it once. He said it was that if that expression was used in modern day, he would have said, I am the Lord thy doctor. You understand what I'm trying to say? It was not just, I am the Lord that does miracles for you. No. That when it comes to sickness, I take care of that. Don't worry about it. And that was why there were no physicians in Israel when they first received the covenant. Why? Because diseases were going to be far away from them. But notice this, all of those things were supposed to come on one condition. If you obey these laws that I command you today. And that was what Paul was referring to. What the law could not do, that the law could not bring forth these blessings. Why? He said, weakened by the flesh. It was not as if the law was not potent to do it. Are you getting my point? That if anybody had obeyed the laws, he would have received all the things that God said he would receive from those laws. The only problem was they could not. Paul will tell you that I desired after the law of God, but I found another law working in my members. Are you getting my point? And there is a principle that was set in motion because of their sins and iniquity. He said there is what is called the law of sin that results in death. Meaning that every time you do something wrong, now listen to this. Every time you do something which we call sin, you open the door to death. And there is something that the Bible says. He was talking about the devil. He said that the devil has the power of death. Now, let me explain what I'm trying to say. When he said the devil had the power of death, he was talking about the fact that let me put it like this. The Bible says that God has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked, for their road in the day of destruction. That anytime sin has come in, do you understand my point? He opens the door for the devil. Are you getting my point? And then you begin to see the effects of the devil amongst men because of sin. That was why when Jesus came, at the time he did, you started seeing people who were possessed of devils. Spiritually speaking, they were in sin. That led to spiritual bondage. So you saw all kinds of sicknesses in the land. You saw possession by spirits. That also led to physical bondage. The Romans had come and taken them captive. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, those things were supposed to be alien to them. Listen, the way God did it was that if Israel obeyed him, a small house in Israel would take up a nation in battle and they will not lose. Time will not allow us to go into all the references. But you will see that the Israelites, there was a time they went to war. When they came back, they numbered the number of, that they counted the men of war that went, and not one was missing. Were the other people sleeping? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Israel waged war by divine assistance. And that's very easy to understand. You will see that when Moses went to the mountain, lifted up his two hands, the battle will go in the direction that means favoring the Israelites. And when he will drop his hands, they begin to lose. When they were going to take, after they lost the battle at Ai, against Ai, because somebody took some things and kept in his tent. When they returned, remember, God told them, Joshua, to take his javelin in his hand. Joshua did not go into that battle. He stood afar off and spread out his javelin, just stretched his hand like that. And he kept his hand up until evening. And because of that, they won that battle. That was just to tell us that these guys were not winning by strength, human strength. It was here I was explaining last time that even in the lives of Samson, that I used to think, most of us thought that Samson was big and muscular. Then one day I heard the thing read, and I said, if the man was so big and muscular, they would not have said, what is the secret of your strength? Are you getting my point? It would have been obvious. If it was one Arnold Schwarzenegger that was terrorizing the Philistines, it would have been obvious that this bulk of muscles, I mean, this is the Hercules of their time, you understand my point? You can see him. But when they see a man that otherwise would have looked ordinary, then but they will notice when a transformation will come upon this man and strength. And look, we should understand it. Read the New Testament. When men will be possessed by spirits, one person will go after seven men, seven sons of Sceva, and whip all of them. One demon-possessed person. I hope you are getting my point. To tell you that spiritual things actually control the earth. So for Israel, God was going to indwell them so much that one little David will regularly face Goliath, and he will have no problem defeating the Goliath. But on one condition, he shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to obey all these commandments I'm commanding you today. It was not an easy job. So they never experienced that for a very simple reason. Because they could not obey the law. They could not obey the law. So, what the law was supposed to do, it appeared as if the law could not do it. But Paul said it was not because of the law per se. It was because it was weakened by the flesh. Let me quickly explain what sin is. Sin does not mean a moral failure. Sin means you are doing it the way God did not say it should be done. Simple. Even if it appears right in your own eyes. That is, if you ordained a priest from Ephraim under the law, you had sinned. It was not like Ephraimites are bad people. No, it's just that priests were supposed to come from where? The tribe of Levi. They were supposed to be Levites. So if you go to Judah and ordain a priest, you have committed a sin. Sin means that you have disobeyed God's order. Just bear that in mind as we go on. So I was explaining, therefore, that the law was supposed to do some things, but it was predicated upon the fact that people obeyed all the terms of the law. But he now said what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He said he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, let me explain something here as we go on. Now, remember, we said that sin opens the door to the devil, who the Bible says has the power of death. And that when Jesus was going to go to the cross, you remember that we explained that he told the disciples ahead of time that the devil has no power over me. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. He said, but I will experience all these things. I'm going to die the death of a sinner because I love the Father and obey his commandments. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday night, and he was telling me that he was about to take some decisions, you know, leave a particular place where he's currently involved in one establishment and go away. So he said he was just telling me that he was telling the people who work with him and who are his subordinates that if you ever hear that I leave, he didn't tell them he was going to leave, but he was just preparing them ahead of time, that if you hear that I leave, please know that it is not because I was not promoted. He said, know that it has nothing to do with whether I'm angry with the establishment. He said, I am not leaving because I'm angry with our superiors. I'm not angry with anybody. I will just be leaving because it is the right thing to do. This is the season of my life for me to move on. He said, he just kept on telling them, preparing them ahead of time. Though, he said, in fact, they started behaving like Peter. Say, no, you can't go. You cannot go. If you go, do you know what will happen? This place will scatter. He said to them, don't worry, it will not scatter. He was just preparing them ahead of time. I hope you're getting my point. And I quickly told him something. I said, what you did is scriptural. that Jesus also prepared his disciples ahead of time. He told them that I am about to leave. And when I leave, don't think I sinned. That's why I'm going to die like this. Know that it is because, it's not because the devil can now take care of me. No. You are witnesses to how many times he tried and he never succeeded. He said, but when I leave now, it will be because I am laying down my life of myself. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That's very important. We bear those things in mind. But my emphasis in what the things I'm saying right now is the fact that failure, and remember we said the other time, when people are subject to the devil who has the power of death, it is because of what? Sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that what God did in reality by the death of Jesus was to create, by the resurrection of Jesus, by the death of Jesus, he shed his blood and washed away the sins of mankind. And by his resurrection, he created a new order of beings. You understand my point? Who are of the second man, the second Adam, Christ Jesus. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, what am I saying all of these things? Now, they operate under different laws. Get me? And if you go and read from Jeremiah 31, for God's time, I won't read it. It said, there is a new covenant I am going to make. Now, if you listen to those series, under the new covenant, we explain that it is not only with the house of Israel. All right. It was going to spread to the whole of the Gentiles. He said that was when he broke down the wall of partitioning. Now, he said, under this new covenant, this is what I want to understand, that I will write my laws in their heart. What God was saying is that I will cause them to become exactly like me. Now, remember I said sin is when you don't do things exactly the way God wants you to do them. Now, he said that I will transform their nature so that what I like, they will like instinctively. What I want is what they will want to do. He said, but between when they are born and they reach maturity, when they begin to manifest all these characteristics, he said, the blood of Jesus constantly cleanses them of all iniquity. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm trying to explain something here. That you are not subject to death, you are not subject to failure, you are not subject to anything that the devil wants to put on mankind. It doesn't matter who your father is. You know, there are funny things I hear Christians say, preachers, that there are people here, when you were children, you were donated to one Ogboni or one Ogbanje cult, and you are talking to somebody who is 25. Both you, the preacher, and the person you are talking to don't have understanding. Except that person is not yet born again. Except that person has not yet given his or her life to Christ. What am I explaining? The moment you, listen, the sin, because all those you have been given to a cult, all those one of these witches have power over people, it does happen. I'm not saying they don't. They do happen. It is just that the people they have power over, there is a connection by sin. Do you understand my point? And the Bible says very clearly that you have been, if you read if you read from Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, please, I don't want you to open there because I want these things to flow quickly so we can get out of here on time. It said, this message is from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, sin holds people in bondage. It puts them under the power of spiritual death. It is when sin has power over people that the devil and his agents, be they witches, witchcraft, wizards, or whatever they might be, we have power on the person. They are of the order that Jesus said, the ruler of this age is coming. But what is the point? He has nothing in me. And anybody who is of faith in Jesus is a second Adam. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, he's a new creature. There is a new creation. God has formed him again. He said, this one is born not of the flesh. Are you getting my point? Not of the will of man, but of the spirit. Therefore, I don't care the number of people who offered him to witches when he was a child. He is immune, except he has not given his life to Christ. Do you get my point? You cannot come and tell me a believer established in the faith in Jesus is being worried by the fact that his grandfather was an Ogboni man. It makes no difference. The man who was subject to the curses of being a descendant of an Ogboni man is dead. The Bible said he was crucified with Christ. It said by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, he has been released from his sins. I hope you are getting my point. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. He said, knowing that you were not redeemed by perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, he said, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. I hope you are getting the point I'm going to make. I hear people talk about ancestral curses. They don't have any meaning in the life of a child of God. They don't have any meaning in the life of the believer. They don't need to be broken specially. Are you getting my point? They don't. There is nobody born on this earth who was not born into a Christian heritage that does not have an ancestral curse. There's none. It is not possible for you to live on the earth and not have sinned. And this, look, remember we're talking about the power of sin. That, like Isaac Newton said, every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line. That is when your ancestors set sin by sin, set events in motion, the descendants automatically partake. Do you understand what the point I'm trying to make? That is, it is not possible for anybody, whether you were offered to Ogbanji or not, is not an issue. If you are not a believer, you are under a kind of ancestral curse. You may not know it. And listen, if you are a child of God, if you are born again, you have been delivered from it. That is the point I am making. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. You see, because, listen, sin is a matter. With God, sin is the issue. He said you were redeemed. Now, you know the meaning of the word redeemed? The word to redeem means to buy. Are you getting my point? It means to buy back. This is how God used to tell the children of Israel. Every male that opens a womb is mine. But you can redeem the child. What does that mean? You bring me a spotless lamb, give him to me in sacrifice. Then I will give that child back to you. Otherwise, the law was that you kill the child. But God said, no, no killing of children here. So what do you do? Instead of giving me the child, instead of killing the child, you kill a lamb in his place. That way you have bought the child back. That is the price I have set. This is just by the way. That's why when God said, you rob me in tithes and offerings. People who don't have understanding of the scriptures enough, I don't mean they are bad people, they just don't have enough enlightenment. They will tell you that offering is over and above tithe. It is not true. What God was saying is that he said, you rob me in tithes and offerings. He was telling them that, you see, those of you who did not bring your child to the temple with a lamb to redeem him, you are owing me a lamb. You are owing me the life of that child. You are a thief. Offering was not something that was spontaneous, that, oh, I just feel good today. God has been so good. Let me just put an offering in the basket. No. They were commanded. They were wave offerings. They were heave offerings. They were trespass offerings. They were sin offerings. They were offerings with which you redeem the life of a newborn. Now, that's just by the way. So, listen. When you redeem, you buy, you pay the price. Sin puts people in bondage. I have said it before, that if you want to preach to people, stop begging them to give their life to Christ. Give it to them straight. If you don't repent, you will die. What is begging? You say, look, you know, actually we are doing program. You don't need the program in my church. I am warning you that your next journey, you won't come back if you don't repent. I am telling you that one day, if you take a flight, you will fall from the plane, because of sin. That the only deliverance, we don't preach the gospel because we don't understand it. Tell people, this is a fact. Your sin will eventually find you out. This is the advantage of being a child of God. through the blood of Jesus, your sin, every single one is washed away. And while you grow into maturity, anyone you do by omission, do you understand my point? Without being conscious, because it is still sin. He said the blood of Jesus constantly cleanses you of those iniquities. Listen to me. This is a fact. A child of God shouldn't just walk around on the road and be knocked down by a car anyhow. It is not right. Plague shouldn't come into town and be killing Christians. It is not right. Do you understand my point? The place that God has placed them in life is that they have been delivered by the blood of Jesus. The devil has no hold on them. That is a fact. Fruitfulness is their portion. They should not be failures. They will not be utterly cast down. This is a fact of life. Let's listen. Look, listen. There are ways by which you live life. You live life, one, as a son, that is, as a child of God. These are the rights of children. There's a second way, as servants. Sometimes servants become partakers of the judgment in the world so that they can feel their infirmities. Do you understand my point? No man brings out an invention if he does not understand the pressure of the lack of it. That is why I am not impressed by running to precious, by running to good places. It doesn't put pressure on you to invent new things. It does not. Do you get my point? Count it all joy, the Bible says, when you fall into diverse trials. Count it all joy when NEPA does not allow your things to work well. Count it all joy when your roads are full of potholes. Count it all joy when the roads are bad, everything is going wrong. Count it all joy when your legal system does not work. Count it all joy when you cannot trust your police. Count it all joy when things go wrong. Why? Because under such circumstances, the gift of God in you will begin to manifest. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, ordinarily speaking, there is no problem on this earth that is the portion of the child of God. None. 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 That is why some of the gospel people preach, they are popular gospel. Come tonight, all the witches plaguing your life. Listen, those witches will not leave you alone until your life is renewed back to order before God. You can't cast them away. Listen, you can't. You cannot. It's not possible. The preacher can scare them. They are waiting for you at the door. I hope you are getting what I'm my point. All these things I'm saying. This is a fact. The blood of Jesus indeed delivers us from destruction. We have to believe that. There was something I said once, and it's not that funny then, but it's so true. There was an epidemic of meningitis once when I was in Lagos. You see, this thing is killing people. If you catch it like this, you are dead instantly. Hey, one of my guys came. He said, go and take your immunization. No. So people were getting up. He said, Banker, are you not going? I said, no. He said, why? Now, get my point. Immunization is good. Understand my point? It is good. It is God-given technology. It's good. All right? But I said, I'm not going. The guy said, why not? I said, I can't run up and down because meningitis is coming. I said, it puts me into anxiety called meningitis. I said, meningitis should hear my name and run. Not me hearing meningitis name and run. He said, I'm not going. I refuse to go. I didn't take immunization. I refuse. I said, no, you can't harass me. Meningitis can't kill me. It's not possible. I mean it. I still mean it. I'm happy I'm saying this publicly. Meningitis, go and try. You cannot kill me. Listen, 1,000 may fall by my side, 10,000 at my right hand, none shall come near me. I will not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day. In peace, I will lay me down to sleep because the Lord alone causes me to dwell in safety. Are you getting my point? Look, that message I was referring to, everybody should get his place. The one I said, take hold of the kingdom. Do you know the problem we have? Churches are full because going to church is in vogue. Few people believe anything. It said, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. I emphasized here last time that it was not just a lack of knowledge, but the fact that they do what? Rejected knowledge. Go and read it. Because you have rejected knowledge. People reject knowledge. And listen, no matter what I'm saying, how true they are, if you don't know them and walk in them, believe them, the devil will take advantage of you. He's what is called a thief. You understand my point? He's a liar. And whatever you believe is what will come to you. If he comes to you and persuades you that you are subject to ancestral curses, you will be running up and down after white garment prophets, wasting your time. Are you getting my point? Anybody who gets up and says, Christians need deliverance, he himself needs deliverance. He needs deliverance from ignorance. I hope you are following my point. He needs deliverance. He does not understand what God calls Christ. Christ in you. What Christians need is knowledge and understanding. Let them know what God has made them to be. They will stop living anyhow. I hope you are following the point I'm making. So I was explaining that the issue is this. The power of death, the Bible said, is what? Sin. The devil has the power of death. That is, where you find sin is where the devil can enter. But where there is the blood, like he did in Egypt, the angel of death always jumps over the place where the blood of God, blood of the lamb was put. Once you find the blood of the lamb, it jumps over that place. And that is the heritage of the child of God. I hope you are getting my point. Why? Because he is of a new order. He said there was a first Adam, the one we all know about, subject to the destruction in this flesh. We're talking about the law of sin and death. No, anyway, I'll get back to that. But there is a second Adam, which is called Christ, who has defeated the devil. Where did we read just now? Hebrews chapter 2. He said he has rendered powerless the one that had the power of death, that is the devil, that he might free those who have been held in bondage all their lives because of the fear of death. Thomas Aremu said something. One of the winners in chapel bishops. Then he was in Ibadan. I don't know where he is now. But he made a point which there was one school of ministry I went for and he was preaching. He said when he first got to Ibadan, that why did their church grow like that? He said it was because of the ministration of the word of God. I want to use that to explain what he means by people being held in bondage because of the fear of death. But there was one man who was suffering. He didn't have money. His family was in disarray. Why? Because a prophet told him that the next time he goes on that Lagos-Ibadan Express Road, he's a dead man. Now, this is how you know the difference between Christianity and Islam. Between Christianity and white garment churching. You know what I'm saying? Between Christianity and fake prophecies. Between Christianity and divinations. Christianity is the good news. A diviner told him, if you go on that road, you will die. That was the plan of the devil. But he had no solution for him. The only solution is, don't pass that road. So, unfortunately, the man's business was in Lagos. Between him, his family, and the prophet, they are in Ibadan. So, God said, money is in Lagos. You stay in Ibadan. That is, as far as I'm concerned, I'll put your own money, your business in Lagos. You stay in Ibadan, you and your prophet. Now poverty begin to enter the house. You know, when big trouble has knocked a man down, all the small ones, they start jumping on top of him. It's a proverb in my place. Are you getting my point? Then one day somebody told him, say, you have problems. He said, yes, I do. He said, come, follow me. Let me go and show you a man of God. So he took him to go and see Thomas Aremu, who looked at him and said, what is the problem? He told him the problem. He said, that is not the problem. Now come, go to Lagos and you will return back. I'm telling you. And the guy entered, went to Lagos and came back and he was alive and well. The guy gave him the deliverance that was found in the blood of Jesus. He said, go and come. The guy went and came back and he was fine. And the guy looked and said, are you serious? Say, this God, I will serve him completely. I have no other problem. That's how he began to go to that church, where he had deliverance. One of the worst things that happened to human beings is to be caught by a white garment prophet. They are terrible people. When I was in Lagos those days, I met a man. One of my friends was teaching in a school. It was one of these white garment people. And every time I go to his house, I see a 504 nearby. What is the problem? He said, did you notice that car? I said, I did. He said, the owner of that car The man is a rich guy. He only buys brand new cars. You know, in Nigeria, to buy a brand new car, you're not a poor fellow. And this is not even now, where people are getting more able to afford them. This was in 1994, 1995. I said, He said he has a duplex where he lives alone in Surulere. That's how comfortable this guy was. He said, but every night he comes to the church to sleep on the pew. Because the white garment people told him that the witches are going to get him. And the man was really having problems. In fact, he said the man says that this is his deliverance. I said, but they didn't tell him that he can't go to his house. He's not yet delivered. He has not been set free. That's why Jesus said, whoever the Son sets free is free entirely. There's partial freedom in which you can sleep now, but you can only sleep on a pew. You know what they call pew? Maybe it's big English. Is that hard paco mahogany? No cushion on top. They usually put inside worship centers. A man who God has given money, but God has not given him the ability to enjoy it. That was an example. That is bondage. Deliverance is that the man will take his car keys, drive home, open his door, close it, and sleep. I hope you are following my point. That is the only thing that gives anybody that is that blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. That was what washed away the sins of mankind. That song is so beautiful. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen to me. The only way by which problems, adversities, failures hold on to people is because of sin. Whether they are aware of the fact that they did it or not is not the issue. But in the same manner, the blood of Jesus indeed cleanses us from all iniquity. What did he say? he said, to him who loves us and released us from the effect of our sins by his blood. That's Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. I hope you are following my point. Now let me get back to what I was saying last night. I said I wanted to talk about today. Remember we said that the blood speaks. Maybe we should quickly go back there. Revelation chapter 12. He said in verse 11, let me start from 10. Then I heard a loud voice.